as I've mentioned before, these great feasts are all centered around a mystery. That is, a revelation of God's plan in one form or another. And the one we celebrate today, this mystery, is one which in a way brings together all the other mysteries and sheds a particular light on them. The texts we have today at the liturgy all are meant to unpack for us, help us to penetrate this reality. So we start with the reality. We start with what is the assumption. And we ask the Lord to have our mind enter into that, appreciate that, be touched by that. Not just from the outside, as though we're analyzing some physical property of something. No, this is from the inside. This is the mystery. Pope Pius XII, when he proclaimed this mystery to be a dogma, quoted at one point St. John Damascene, who sums it up very nicely. It was necessary that she, who had preserved her virginity inviolate in childbirth, should also have her body kept free from all corruption after death. It was necessary that she who had carried the Creator as a child on her breast should dwell in the tabernacle of God. It was necessary that the bride espoused by the Father should make her home in the bridal chamber of heaven. It was necessary that she who had gazed on her crucified Son and been pierced in the heart by the sword of sorrow, which he had escaped in giving him birth, should contemplate him seated with the Father. It was necessary that the Mother of God share the possession of her Son and be venerated by every creature as the mother and handmaid of God. And all of this is summed up, you see, in this transformation of her whole personality, physical as well as spiritual, forever. Now, the texts that we're given and the songs that we sing are all meant to help us enter in to this mystery. Mary, when time came for her to leave this world, was taken up to heaven, body and soul. Now, up to heaven is the way we speak. She was moved over into the realm of God. The realm of God is right here. The most obvious reality in this room is the most blessed Trinity. If the roof were to fall in and we were all to die, we'd say, oh, here, the blessed Trinity, because God is the source and root of all reality. And Mary is joined to him and with all those who are equally joined to him forever. And that's what we're going to start to look at now in just a moment. The vision in the book of Revelation, as you know, this is the key point, the center point of the book, chapter 12. And it brings together so many things. Huh? There is the glory and the suffering. There is the old and the new. This text, as it were, stands at the waterline between the Old and the New Testament. It's Israel. The old Israel and the new Israel. Giving birth to the Savior of the world in and through Mary, who is Old Testament and New Testament in her very being, in her very body. And so God's temple was opened. And the Ark of his covenant could be seen in the temple. So it's restored again. The Ark that was lost is now returned. And the Ark is the mother of God. She bears the Torah within her, in her soul, and ultimately in her body. And then a great sign appeared in the heavens. A woman clothed with the sun. It's her garment, the sun, the source of all life. All the breakfast we'll eat this morning, the energy ultimately comes from that sun. She's clothed with this glorious sun, you see. And the moon is under her feet. And on her head, a crown of 12 stars, the 12 tribes of Israel. And of course, we, though we're not divided into 12 tribes, are the heirs and successors and members of the 12 new patriarchs, the 12 apostles, whom Jesus explicitly named, and in the same book of Revelation are seen to be the foundation of the heavenly city. She was with child and wailed aloud in pain as she labored to give birth. Who? This woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, you see, with the 12 stars on her head. So there is this glory. But at the same time, in this vision, there is pain. Now, we're not talking about the renewed and glorified Israel as it exists in Mary. We're talking about the earthly Israel as it exists in Mary. Old and new. She labored to give birth. That's the whole history of Israel. Labored to be free from sin, labored to be faithful to God, labored under persecution, labored in their suffering, in the mockery they suffered because of what God asked of them and how they were mocked by everybody else. Huh? So she wailed aloud in pain, old Israel and new Israel. We too, we're the church, right? The church still is in labor. Paul even says it. I am in labor until Christ be formed in you, he tells the Galatians. And so, the old Israel and the new Israel, in one way, at its reaching its glory, its final destiny in Mary. And yet, suffering. Then another sign appeared in the sky. It was a huge red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its heads were 7 diadems, rulers of this world who want to kill this child. This child, the fruit of Israel, old Israel and new Israel, this child, he wants to kill him. His tail swept away a third of the stars in the sky, in the heavens, and hurled them down to earth. Powerful. Much more powerful than anybody else except God. The dragon stood before the woman about to give birth to devour her child when she gave birth. This is perennial. The church, we have no idea what this world would be like and what our lives would be like without the sacraments, without the gospels, without the saints, the church laboring to give birth. And then to devour her child when she gave birth. She gave birth to a child, a son, a male child, destined to rule all the nations with an iron rod. This is Israel. This is Mary. in whom the whole vocation of Israel was finally summed up. So you have this text, this allusion to Psalm 2. Why do the Gentiles rage? Why do they plan stupid things and rebellion? Against the Lord and against his Messiah. And he who dwells in heaven laughs at them. And the Messiah cries out, I have received this appointment from God. He said to me, you are my son. This day I have begotten you. What day? The day of the resurrection. And that's why our text tells us, you see, her child was caught up to God. She gave birth, and he was caught up to God. He was raised. The woman herself then fled into the desert, this life, generation after generation after generation of this life, where there was a place prepared for her by God, the church, which she is and in which she dwells. The holiness of this church. We are going to receive the body and blood of the Son of God, this male child caught up to heaven. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now that the core of this mystery has been enacted, right? The woman, Israel, Mary, has given birth, and he's been caught up into heaven. Then a loud voice said, now have salvation and power come, and the kingdom of our God, the reign of our God here on earth, and the authority of his anointed one, his Messiah. That's what we celebrate. You see how it's summed up in this victory of Mary over sin and death. And she, you gaze at her, you see your future. As church, and as a member of the church, a member of Christ's body. This is why the fathers of the church call. They're so enamored, they're so struck, they're so awestruck by this, the way that this text has summed up for us the whole meaning of our existence and shows us what to look forward to and to show us that we live in such a holy place, this church, under attack day and night, succumbing to sin and rising again, attacked by Satan, attacked by persecutors, reviled and mocked, betrayed. And yes, but never defeated, because this church gives birth to this male child every day. The baptismal font is the womb of the church. Every day, people are brought, plunged into this water, or washed with this water, with the word of the Trinity being said over them, and they're new. All their sins are taken away, and they have new and divine life. They're new. So you see, my friends, this is not just a feast day. And after breakfast, we forget about it. Of course, we have things to do. But you see, this is to help you understand why today, in one way or another, you too will be in the pangs of childbirth. You too will be suffering today. But you will be giving birth to Christ in your own heart and in the hearts of others. And that's why this text ends, you see. Now have salvation and power come, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Messiah,